Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFO Movies India Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to UFO Movies India Limited's Q2 and H1 FY 2024 earnings conference call. The company is represented by Mr. Rajesh Mishra, Executive Director and Group CEO, along with Mr. Ashish Malushte, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mishra for opening remarks, post which we can start question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Greetings, everyone, and thank you all for joining our Q2 and H1 FY 2024 earnings call. Q2 FY 2024 started on a muted note with no major Hindi releases in the first half of the July month. However, latter part of the July saw release of Rocky and Rani Ki Prem Kahani, followed by blockbusters like Jawan, Gadar 2, Jailer, as well as hits like Oh My God 2 and Dreamgirl 2 in subsequent months. During the quarter, films across languages fared well, especially the performance of the Hindi movie stood out. Such widespread success of films in multiple languages underscores the enduring passion for the big screen. Cinema enthusiasts flocked to the theaters, leading to an increase in advertisers' confidence in cinema advertising, resulting in a substantial upswing in advertising revenue for the quarter. This is evident from 26% quarter-on-quarter growth in advertisement revenue and 120% growth on year-on-year basis. On the government advertisement front, there is positive engagement from state governments and public sector undertakings during the quarter. Overall, government advertising revenue grew by 47% from Q1 FY 24 and 167% from Q2 FY 23, despite a lack of spending from central government. I now turn to the key figures for the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2023. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 871 million compared to 853 million in Q1 FY 24 and rupees 1078 million in Q2 FY 23. EBITDA for Q2 FY 24 reached 177 million, marking a significant improvement compared to an EBITDA of 25 million in Q2 FY 23 and rupees 163 million in Q1 FY 24. EBITDA margin for Q2 FY 24 improved from 2.34% in Q2 FY 23 to 20.29% in Q2 FY 24. Profitability after tax continued its growth momentum this quarter, reaching 33 million compared to the loss of rupees 92 million in Q2 FY 23 and a profit of rupees 25 million in Q1 FY 24. Regarding the half yearly performance, the consolidated revenue amounted to rupees 1725 million as compared to rupees 1984 million in H1 FY 23. EBITDA for the H1 FY 24 was at 340 million, a substantial increase compared to 123 million in H1 FY 23, that is a 177% increase year on year. EBITDA margin in H1 FY 24 improved from 6.2% in H1 FY 23 to 19.71% in H1 FY 24. On the profitability after tax front, we are pleased to report that we have achieved profit after tax for the first time on half yearly basis since Q4 FY 20, with PAT reaching 58 million in H1 FY 24 compared to the loss of 117 million in H1 FY 23. The consolidated cash at the end of quarter was rupees 929 million, and we have net cash of rupees 244 million after considering all outstanding debt. Further, during this quarter, we have added 69 advertisement screens on net basis across the prime and popular categories, compared to Q1 FY24. With this positive growth and an exciting lineup of upcoming releases, including Tiger 3 starring Salman Khan, Animal starring Ranbir Kapoor, Sam Bahadur starring Vicky Kaushal, Merry Christmas starring Katrina Kaif and Vijay Sethupathi, Donkey starring Shah Rukh Khan, Yodha starring Siddharth Malhotra, Captain Miller starring Dhanush, Stalar starring Prabhas, and Fighter starring Deepika Padukone, Hrithik Roshan, we are confident about sustaining the upward trajectory in the coming quarters, looking at the exciting lineup that we have in front of us. Thank you for joining us today, and now I would like to open the floors to take your questions. My colleague, Mr. Ashish Malhotra, CFO, and I are looking forward to a productive and insightful discussion ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. I'm audible?
Yeah. Very much.
Yes. Hi. So, my first question is with regards to one of the statements I read in the annual report of FY23. So, it was made by Mr. Gaikwad, and it said that company will soon reach pre-COVID level financials, right? And the upward trajectory will continue. Now, if we look at the financials, so pre-COVID levels, the margins, operating margins used to range between 27% to 30%, and the revenue was around 600 crores for the company. So now, by when can we expect such financials again, sir? So what is the company's target? What are the expectations for the company with regards to this? And in the opening remarks, you also mentioned, so this trajectory, this current trajectory, quarter on quarter should continue. Was that with regards to both the margins and the revenue? So that was my first question. Thank you.
Hi, Ryan. So this is the only one question you have. Can we start addressing it?
I have one more. Should I just ask it now?
Okay. So let me try and address it. So I'm not sure whether you're referring to our annual report online meet that we had or about the actual annual report. Nevertheless, the statement made is right. What we wanted to give a guidance to the investor community is that the COVID is behind us now, because as you must have noticed, only our industry was the one which was taking a lot of time to recover after the COVID shock. And finally, towards when we actually had the annual general meeting, around that time, there were clear visible signals of Q1 that the things are falling in place for us. So that is where that statement came, that soon we should be going back to our pre-COVID profitability. Now, actually, if you see, our pre-COVID profitability was driven by, and in a sense, our profitability of the business is driven by the advertisement performance of the company. And we were very happy to state that in spite of all the challenges, including one major challenge where because of COVID, almost 15% to 17% of our network theaters closed down. In spite of that, the one segment of our advertisement, which is corporate advertisement, did exceptionally well. And we are almost at pre-COVID levels in terms of consumption of inventory in that segment. In terms of profitability also, if you see FY20 at a PAT level, we closed around 39 crore. And this quarter, the PAT level performance, if you see, including the exceptional item, is close to, if you add exceptional item, then the amount is 4.5 crores. So what we are trying to explain is that the profitability is also tracking closely the advertisement performance, and therefore there are very, very clear visibility in terms of that we are slowly, not just slowly, but in a very fast pace going back to pre-COVID levels. The only one major task to be achieved, and over there many things are beyond our control, is the nature of the advertisement spends by the central government. So central government as a segment used to be a significant contributor, almost 50% of our revenue comes from government spent. Of that, 80% comes from central government. So almost 40-42% of our total advertisement revenue used to come from central government. And you know, advertisement contributes close to 70%, 65-70% of our PBT. Now, this segment has, in a way, completely stopped advertising and almost dropped by 90-95%. So we are hoping that slowly the central government ministries would start using all the mediums, not just in cinema, and restart their spends on social media messaging on all the platforms, including digital cinema. So once that happens, the remaining gap of 15-20 crores of profitability that you see would also get met. So we are surely on track, and as guided, Q2 at least is a very strong indicator that we are reaching there.
Okay. But are you seeing positive, positive signs from this central government spending scenario? By when is it expected to, you know, gain full traction ahead, back to those levels?
So this is something which is really beyond our control. But we have been receiving inquiries, and our teams are in touch with the Central Bureau of Communications, and we are hopeful of regaining some of the central government revenue. But I would just like to say at this point that what we have started doing strategically is we have also started reaching out to the states in a much more engaged manner, and we are seeing traction from state advertising, which is partly offset the loss that we are seeing on central government. So if central government starts that revenue, it will definitely be an upside for us. But state governments, we are increasing our revenue earnings. And also our empanelment, which has happened for Caravan, that is showing a lot of positive traction, and we are hopeful of getting some decent revenues from this area also. And this could be from central government as well as from state governments and etc.
Okay, before I get back in queue, the Cube JV, I believe in quarter one you mentioned that in H2 of this year, you will start to see it in effect. So what is going on over there? Has it been completed, the process? And so what kind of impact we will see on our revenues or on any metric, you know, like cost savings, profitability? How does it work? Can you please share some details on that? Thank you.
Yeah, so as regards the Cube JV is concerned, while the procedural processes are more or less in place, we are facing certain teething issues on structural alignment and also
operational
issues such as registering the companies under a new entity with DAVP and all that. So we hope to sort out this teething issues, and we will come back to you on an updated status whenever we have some news on that front. But as of now, this JV has not become operational, and there is no impact reflected in our performance on account of the JV as such.
So can't even expect for this year then?
We are keeping our fingers crossed, and let's see how it works out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with one question in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Rahul Vashista from Aksa Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Rishi Maheshwari. Thanks for taking my question.
Hello, Rishi.
Hi. Heartiest congratulations on getting back to profits. I think it's been long overdue. And now that your industry has opened up, if you can also brief you know, there are certain line items or industry or industrial verticals like the distributor revenue or the exhibitor revenue, which is still tracking negatively versus year on year. So if you can give us some sense of what is the path to getting prof, getting near on growth on those line items as well.
Distribution revenue, I mean, strictly a function of how the films perform, because as we had been mentioning in our earlier earnings call, we follow a very conservative policy on distribution wherein we don't take any IPR risk. That is, we are not investing in the copyright or anything. So we work largely on commission basis, keeping a low risk profile on this area. And it's largely dependent on the films that we do. We largely are concentrating on the South language films because Hindi language films are typically high budgeted and expect advances and minimum guarantees, which we steer clear of. And like we did Jailer, for instance, in this quarter, that gave us some revenue. But it is still difficult to predict any profitability on this account. While we drive the numbers, it all largely depends upon how the films perform in the market over there.
So, Rishi, if probably was your question around the CDC, the distribution revenue in our core business?
That is right, which is also tracking negatively, about 17%.
So what Rajesh tried to explain was on the new revenue stream that we have started.
Distribution
is a distribution where we act as a distributor. So let
right,
me try
right,
and
my,
ask you a question. About our distribution service fee that we generate. So you're right, that is one revenue stream which is now when we see that there has been a traction business coming back on track, now obviously we all are keen and eager to see how soon we go back to our pre-COVID levels, right? So pre-COVID, we were in the range of 115, 120 crores of revenue which we used to generate from this revenue stream providing services to distributors. CDC is what is captured in our annual report. Now, this on a run rate, last year we were in the range of 88 crores. This year we are seeing a similar run rate. Now, what happened was while rest of the like advertisement revenue in that sense is more determinable depending upon our connect with the advertisers, we directly drive that business. In case of CDC, where we provide services to distributors to take their films in theaters, their one major chunk is how many movies are going to come and what kind of movies are going to come. We are there to provide service, but the inflow of the content is not in our control. So while that has more or less fallen in place, to be honest, except we saw a major issues in Hindi market till Q1 of this year, Q2 has been really good even on Hindi market. So from Q2 onwards, we can say the content pipeline is more or less the way it was in pre-COVID. The only one major chunk that is moved is the number of screens for us. So that has fallen by almost 18% in our case. And that directly impacts the total revenue. So what we see is current year, we would be in the same range of the CDC what we clocked last year, full year basis. But in the next year, since now more or less film industry is back on track in all its genres, including Hindi, next year we should see some increase, at least certain percentages depending upon how Hindi performs. But to reach to that 150, 120 crore annual run rate from 90-95 crores current run rate, we would need to get the new theaters in. And fortunately, this quarter we are seeing some traction even on that front. So yes, to answer your question, to go back to pre-COVID, we will. The major impact is on account of reduction in screens, and hopefully that would also get filled as we progress from here as an industry.
Sure. Thanks for the elaborate answer. I'll come back to the advertisement revenue. Now, I understand you've given a fairly exhaustive explanation on the central government's curb on spending, and I understand it's not completely in your hands. But the corporate is something which is a little baffling for me at this point in time. From what we observe out of the industry, is that there's a general slowdown that's happening. But you've come after a fairly long time of a slew of good movies and some of the good Hindi movies, which actually makes the difference in your advertisements. Hence, and you've also explained in your opening remarks that the lineup is very good. So within that confluence of a slowdown that may continue for a quarter or so or two quarters, and the Hindi lineup is becoming better and people are flocking back to the cinema screens, how do you expect this corporate revenue to now, bunch back in terms of revenues for this year as a whole and next year going forward?
So, as I said, looking at the lineup of the films and also the performance that we have seen in Q2 regarding the films, it drives the advertisers' confidence, and a sustained period of some good films definitely keeps the drivers, the advertisers' attention onto the media. And we really feel that this is going to be helpful in driving our advertising revenue in Q3, and depending upon the lineup of films that they materialize in Q4 also. So we are fairly optimistic about our corporate advertising revenue on this front.
Can we therefore expect, say, about 120-130 crores of corporate revenue in FY25?
To see the way the things have come back on track, that's the area where we would be certainly targeting, because as Rajesh said, Q2 has given a good indication, and I must say that Q2 was a difficult quarter because the advertisement allocation in case of the corporate segment was already done for World Cup, which we all know is a major event. In spite of that, this is a very, very handsome performance. In fact, as compared to our peers in a listed environment, whereas they have done 17% growth half year versus last year, our corporate did 56% growth. Now, this is only percentage, of course, it depends on base. So, we are hopeful that that number which you have just mentioned looks achievable. There is all efforts are in that direction. And as of now, if you actually split my advertisement revenue between corporate and government, you would also get the same feelers that there is a good trajectory which is already visible in the numbers.
Fair enough. Lastly, on the Q1, while you mentioned that there is the JV may get operational by next year, so at this point in time, Cube is managing its own set of theaters that it was managing earlier, and you are doing your own. And there is no, as of now, there is no synergy that has happened. Is that how I should treat it?
Yeah, that is correct. Currently, we are operating at individual company levels. We are not leveraging any synergies right now,
which was the case all along.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you, Rishi.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with one question in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Vaibhav Vijaya from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for providing the opportunity. So, in terms of revenues, apart from the advertising revenue, so I think VPF is the, in terms of VPF revenue model, I think it is completely driven by the charges per show, right? And then as the number of shows of the same movie increase, the VPF decline. That's how it, if I remember correctly, that's how it is charged, right? VPF.
So complete your question and I'll answer it.
Yes, I just
so you just want to understand the structure of how the VPF is there?
Yeah, so both VPF and CDC. Both the revenue model is what I want to understand.
So, in content delivery charge, basically this is a charge to the distributors for releasing the film in the theaters. We have a per-show model also, where we charge an X amount in week 1 and a lower amount in week 2, and beyond that, there is no charge from third week onwards for Hindi films. Regional films will have a charge in the first, second, third, fourth week, and from fourth week it plateaus out. But large films or bigger films also have the option to take a complete open run license, which roughly translates around to 20,000 rupees per film. Right. As regards VPF revenue is concerned, the figure that is shown over here is EPF is a service that we provide to certain cinemas, like, for example, if they are owning the equipments or something like that, then in that case, we collect the VPF on their behalf. We retain a certain service fee against that, and the lion's share against that is remitted back to the cinema. So VPF is purely a service fee that we charge, and content delivery charge is something that we retain 100%. Does that answer your question, or any other clarification?
Yeah, so basically VPF revenue is purely a function of number of screens, but CDC revenue is a function of number of screens as well as the number of shows.
Broadly you're right. Broadly you're right. Okay. And I would suggest that if we can do a call one-on-one where we can actually explain the way we have explained to other investors who wanted to know very specifically how it works. But you're right, VPF is theater, goes as per theater or screens, and CDC is per show. But if you can refer to slide 14 of our presentation, it very clearly distinguishes between CDC and VPF service revenue. In CDC, we get almost 95% PBT margin because there are no direct costs associated with incremental costs. And VPF service fee, our margins are lower in the range of 25 to 28%.
Got it. Understand. And sir, lastly, one more question in terms of corporate revenue or breakup. So basically, as compared to pre-COVID level, which kind of corporates were advertising with us, and how it has changed as compared to pre-COVID level? And as of now, what is the kind of industry breakup for the corporate revenue?
Yeah. So, in fact, now that we are discussing, I'm realizing that we should start providing the sort of a broad indication of kind of the industry-wise distribution of advertisement spends, because now the advertisement revenue is going up. So going forward, we'll try to make that effort so that you have clear indication of what are the different kind of industry spending or utilizing our platform. But so what happens is, so you will have, say, a television industry trying to, or the channels, various channels trying to spend. So that used to be a good chunk pre-COVID. Now maybe it is taken over by some of the OTT channels. But broadly what we have seen is the segments of the industries are more or less same. Not that some of the industries have completely stopped, and not that some of the industries have completely, started using it afresh. So what has happened is overall spends within that has dropped. So the efforts are to get back those advertisers to spend more. So in a way, it is positive that it's not that you have just lost a particular type of advertising industry, advertisers altogether. Nevertheless, I right now don't have the exact split of the segment-wise bifurcation. So I'll try to collate it and then we can share it with you pre-COVID and this H1.
Sure, got it. Can I squeeze one more or should I come back in the question queue? Not sure.
No, please go ahead.
Okay. So lastly, in terms of JV, you said that there are some teething issues that you're facing in terms of structuring and how to operationalize everything. So do you think that these issues are more structural and can have can kind of lead to some risk to the whole arrangement itself, or do you think it is just kind of, you know, some technical legal issues only?
So there are no legal issues. It's basically, as Rajesh mentioned, it is more to do with operationalizing the JV once it starts. So as you must appreciate that it's a major jump and change for both the organizations who have very diligently and seriously worked towards making it happen. But at this stage, we both of us want to make sure that once we start operating in the advertisement segment primarily as one unit, there are no operational issues at that stage. So in that sense, what we tried to summarize by saying is there are issues which we are trying to resolve, which are primarily towards operationalizing this JV as a one unit. So this is where it is. Fortunately, there are no legal issues, because legal issues then straight away raise a concern what can happen. So there are no legal issues at all. Operationalization issues is something which is a good problem to have, because then what happens is you really, both the parties think through, find the best solution, so that once we get going, things are much, much cleaner and straightforward. But this is where we are, and yes, there is some time that has been taken, but the efforts are on to get to the resolution point, and that's what Rajesh said, that in fact the moment it happens, we are obliged to inform the investors about the updates, and which we'll do, because it is a critical one.
Okay, so that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Bharat Mani from Money Bee Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. So for quarter three, with the start of the World Cup, do you see the demand being subdued in this quarter, or how do you see it shaping up?
So I assume your question is primarily towards the demand for advertisement offtake of our network.
Yes.
So
yes.
Fortunately, what we have seen post-COVID is the good movies are getting the advertiser interest back in a real big way. Like last quarter, there were two big movies who both of them really did well. And in that sense, World Cup issues were more in Q1 because that time, Q2, because the allocation was a problem that time. Q3, what happens is, fortunately for all the media networks, Q3 is good because it's a festive season. So advertisers are also inclined for their business reasons to start spending more. So we don't see World Cup as a challenge in Q3. The content would all certainly be a question. Fortunately, we have some good lineup. If those good lineups translate into a decent performance, then the advertisers' interest would remain intact in this medium, and all the players, including us, PVR, Inox, we all will be beneficial, including you.
Okay, yeah, that's it from me, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jill Tucker from Nirzar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand, what is our EBITDA margin from all the three, that is advertisement, distribution, and exhibitor?
So, what you see as an EBITDA margin is rightfully the mix of all these three. And it is... I will try to simplify it for your understanding. I mean, understanding of most of the investors who want to figure out how the business progresses from here on. So we have our core offering, which is where we provide services to distributor community and exhibitor community. That is the digital cinema services. We get rental revenue and advertisement revenue. And that is my core offering. And for giving that core offering, I have all my costs which are required to be incurred. Okay? So what happens is, without advertisement, I generate a very small profitability. Okay? But the most interesting part is, unlike some other medium where the entire business is dependent on advertisement, there's no other revenue stream. Case in point is, say, radio. Okay? Nothing wrong with the medium, but I'm just trying to distinguish between the two. Over there, the 100% dependency on advertisement, that is what very systematically this very new initiative of UFO, which was promoted way back in 2005, thought of having not just dependence on advertisement. So to answer your question, my profitability from the two segments put together, what we call digital cinema services, will be really small, which is a good thing, because the most important part is that contributes to revenue. Now, what it is left is advertisement. Advertisement as a business offering is such that it is completely top up on my services. So, which means I can get advertisement, I may not get advertisement in period like COVID. So, in this situation, when I get the advertisement revenue, incremental advertisement of the incremental advertisement revenue as high as 65 to 70% will go into my EBITDA / PBT. Now, this is the way one should see from here on how the progression would happen. So for this quarter, if my EBITDA margin is say 19.1% and for or almost 19% for H1, then so it was 19% in a Q1, 20.3% in Q2, and for H1 it is 19.7%. Nothing is significantly going to change on my cost aspect if the theatrical revenue, which I tried to explain in the previous discussion about CDC, if that remains where it is. The only thing that is going to move the needle is advertisement revenue. Over there, against this 19%, every incremental rupee earned would get us at least 60 paisa to 70 paisa. So that is how my overall EBITDA from that level will start moving up faster. That's the beauty of the business model that we have.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for the such a detailed explanation. One more thing, I just wanted to understand, our revenue has gone down but the EBITDA is up. What is the reason for the same and whether the current EBITDA margin is sustainable?
I'm glad you asked this question because we were also immediately surprised when we saw this kind of a reduction. But very simple answer. One is that you have mentioned about three revenue streams in your previous question: rental, distribution services and advertisement. There is one more, which is part of my core offering, which is sale of equipment, where we provide the projectors and servers, or sell projectors and servers to theaters and sell consumables such as lamps to theaters. So the consumable sale is more or less predictable, but the sale of equipment, primarily in the international market in UAE, where we are very strong presence, over there has been a very severe reduction in quarter on quarter as well as year on year reduction in sales. So the gross top line, if you see a major impact, just tell me how much is the impact of equipment sale. So the one major impact is equipment sale, and all of that is in Middle East, but that translates to only 18% margin. Therefore, you might see a top line going down, but the margins are not going down that much. That is almost 16 to 17 per crore reduction year on year, right? And second and very interesting reduction is in my distributor business, distribution business, where we started this business five quarters back, where without taking P&L risk, we are distributing the films, smaller films, into various theaters across the country. Over there, what we do is like what other distributors do. They buy it from the producer and they sell it to the theaters. Now, from accounting side, if you see, we post GST implementation, whatever is sold to the theaters is accounted as income, and whatever is bought is accounted as an expense. In the past, there was an option of accounting in net in all cases. Till last year, we were required to account it on a gross and net level, post which we were required to make some changes in the contract, because of which we could now start presenting this number as a net number. So there is an impact of as much, almost a 10 crores, where last year we had a top line of 10 crores and an expense of 9 crores. Both have gone down this quarter. So what you're doing right now is you're only seeing top line. Therefore, you see an impact of reduction of that almost 10 crores reduction quarter on quarter is only on account of this distribution business. Why I'm highlighting it is, over there the margin is just 3% or maybe 2%. So therefore, the reduction in top line doesn't really impact the profitability that much in almost both these lines. So okay, these were the two significant reductions in both Q2 versus Q1 and on a YOY basis.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So you said your distribution revenue has gone down because number of screens have reduced, right, sir?
Yeah, the CDC revenue, because unfortunately distribution comes twice. One is where we are acting as a distributor and where we are providing services to distributor, which is my core offering, which is a CDC revenue. That has primarily gone down for two reasons. Reduction in screen count by almost 18% as compared to pre-COVID. And second, the Hindi film market was not completely back on track as yet, which we all know. It's just last two and a half months, people have started talking, especially in cities like Mumbai, about theatrical viewing. And before that, people were just discussing whether theaters are over and out and whether everybody will shift to OTT. But fortunately, what we were expecting has happened and happened pretty fast. In just one quarter, things have changed. So these are the two reasons why my revenue is down.
You also have certain big films releasing in that quarter, which have a longer run. So Ed has explained in this call itself that after 2 weeks, you don't get revenue on that per show model. And even in the flat fee model, what happens is, if a film runs for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, then you are not getting additional revenues in the second, third, fourth week onwards. That becomes another impact. And one impact also that is a legacy impact is of Hollywood films releasing. So we had a couple of big Hollywood films releasing in the quarter like Oppenheimer and Barbie and all, where no VPF revenue is earned, and that also creates an impact. So these two, three things have a combined effect of pulling down the CDC revenue.
This digitization income, it was 108 million in H1 23, has come down to 82.
Yeah, you're looking at 6 months number or a quarterly number?
No, 6 months number.
Yeah. So
this is slide 9.
Yes.
So that income means same per screen basis if I compare pre-COVID, is it same or is
can I just interject because if your question is around digitization income, that has got no linkage with number of shows and number of theaters that the movie plays out. That is purely the revenue that we generate by processing the content on e-cinema network and on a d-cinema network. Okay? So this is more like per movie revenue. And over there was a one loss of client, and because of which there has been a reduction in this particular digitization revenue line, which we used to earn till Q2 or middle of Q3 last year. Suppose that the revenue from that particular client we have lost, and as a result of which you see a reduction in the digitization income. But this digitization income, which is relatively smaller because it's in the range of 10 odd crores, versus my CDC income, which I tried to explain in the previous question.
And regarding your JV with Cube, I think you had proposed a JV with Cube before COVID, and that was called off due to crash in our stock prices. This is the same Cube, sir?
Yeah, it is the same Cube, but some quick fact corrections. It was not a JV. At that time in FY17 and we tried, this was more of a merger effort. It was unfortunately didn't go through because of a negative order from NCLT, which was uncomprehendable why that order came. So we went to NCLAT and we won at the NCLAT level. However, that 5 months of gap in between changed the whole perception. There was one major financial investor, ICICI, who after the NCLT order unfortunately had to back out from the deal, and as a result of which, though NCLAT order came positive, we couldn't complete that transaction. And this is important that I clarify this point, because the fall in share price was not the reason for merger not going through. In fact, because merger didn't go through, there was a fall in share price. But yes, it's the same party, a very strong technical, technology player down south, who have a very strong network, and it's the same party.
So this time around, this is a JV, not a merger, right?
Exactly. The JV on a very specific areas, which were highlighted in our earnings call last time, and also detailed disclosure is given in the exchanges when the JVs were entered into.
Okay, sir. Thank you. But I would like to have a one-to-one call. I'll contact your investor relation team.
Please, sir.
Thank
you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Darshil Pandya from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just one question. On the promoter pledge, when can we expect the pledge to be released? Any time frame or something?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this question. So, UFO is, you know, what we see in the recent era where you have startups, eventually the promoters of the startups end up having a very small stake. UFO, I would say, was an early startup in 2005, where a first-generation entrepreneur, Mr. Gaikwad, and his partner, Mr. Hete, started this company, and we required a lot of investment, so they diluted. At the right time, they also invested when company needed money. Eventually, they also needed a corporate support, and therefore, Apollo Tire Group, through their offshoot Apollo International, invested in UFO, and they were our in a way promoters. When we went for listing, we had set of promoters, one which is Mr. Gaikwad and Mr. Hete, who were the founder of the company, and Apollo, who entered in the very very beginning, also was categorized as promoter. Right now the pledge that you see is the pledge of the holding by Apollo, and none of the holding of Mr. Gaikwad and Mr. Hete, which is valuable group, is under a pledge. So optically it looks like promoter has pledged the shares, but to be fair, Apollo International got categorized as a promoter at the time of IPO because of the regulations. Otherwise it was more like an sort of an investment for them, and probably therefore for the other businesses, they must have pledged these shares. And at this stage, UFO management doesn't have any idea about that pledge and when it is likely to go off. But the founder promoter group, his entire stake is intact and nothing is pledged out of that. This is a information which I wanted to provide on this call.
All right. And any plans to, you know, increase the promoter holding as...
There was an opportunity, instead of distributing dividend at the time COVID hit us, if we had gone for buyback, probably promoter stake would have gone up. The problem is that promoter, as I mentioned to you, the founder promoters come from a very humble background and they are first generation entrepreneur. All of the investment is in efforts and investment is in primarily in UFO. So when UFO started seeing worse days, fortunately we are out of it now, for a pretty long period of almost 30 months of COVID, they also had a problem. So at this stage, to expect that the founder promoters would be able to increase the stake by investing in the company, though it is, I mean, it is really attractive at this valuation. It was attractive in last year. Is difficult because of the constraints that I explained. But I must tell you that when in 2009 company needed funds, there was an infusion to the tune of 90 crores, which was done in this company by the founder promoters from their other business sales that they had done. But at this stage, I don't see that there is a possibility where the founder promoters will be able to increase their stake. More importantly, there is no lien on their shares, and they are completely committed and have always shown the commitment in the past.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best for the rest of the year. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, as we have elections in the coming year, so accordingly, should we expect an uptick in the revenue spends by the central government? And ultimately, should that lead us to 200 crore revenue run rate in the advertisement segment?
200 crore would be a dream come true. So
that's just a pre-COVID number, even lower.
That was overall combined corporate, government and everything number. But yes, with the upcoming elections, we hope to see an uptake from state and central government and even possibly political parties advertising. And there should be some opportunity over there, but definitely not in the range that you are suggesting.
All right.
No, and so just to clarify, we are assuming that your question is 200 crores of corporate advertisement run rate. Because currently
no,
corporate... Yeah, total may reach there if what you are saying, if government, because of the entire election year phenomena, if the central government decides to start using this medium again, not just the in-cinema advertisers like us, but even other mediums like radio or print would be beneficiary. And if that happens, there used to be a 1400 crores budget of central government alone. So if that happens, most certainly, because as of now, what we are all doing is we are trying to see that central government will be zero and how to mitigate that risk. So if your first question was if central government starts looking at it positively, I am extending it, which means if it starts spending 70, 80, 90 crores on our network the way used to they spend in the past, in fact it was 100 crore plus, then most certainly 200 crores is achievable. Because right now, 80 crore is a run rate, annual run rate of corporate, which is which used to be 95 crore in pre-COVID.
Yes, yes. Okay, thank you for this. And are we looking forward to maintain this same margin of around 19% going forward for FY24 and FY25 also?
Yes, and with advertisement revenue increasing, this should start slightly moving up.
Slightly moving upwards to any ballpark number, 20-21%?
There's no point giving ballpark number because for that we need to have a ballpark number of the revenue. Whereas every incremental rupee gives me 65% margin. So if anybody can do maths.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Thank you. That was my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Vaibhav Bachia from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a small follow-up. So in terms of reaching pre-COVID level of advertising revenue, obviously the central government revenue is important. But in terms of the rates that we charge to our advertisers, would that be also a headwind because the number of screens have gone down, as you said, by around 15-20%? So should ideally that...
I'm sorry, you will have to speak again because one critical portion of what you are speaking we missed out because probably of the connectivity issue.
Okay. So what I was trying to say is that in comparison to reaching pre-COVID level of financials, you highlighted a couple of headwinds. But in terms of, because our number of screens have gone down as compared to pre-COVID, don't you think that the charging same rates per minute of advertising would also be a headwind because obviously the number of screens have gone down, number of eyeballs accordingly will have gone down. So do you think that would also be a headwind?
It would not be a headwind because what we are saying is if the number of screens have gone down, the product mix of the screens has improved. So what has happened is the more vulnerable screens, that is the single screens and all, that is the ones that have largely closed down. But the screens that have got added across the last couple of years is more of the high quality premium screens. These are the ones, the new ones which are coming up, or the ones which are getting renovated. So brownfield, greenfield put together, the quality of the product mix is improving. So there is no reason why, because of screen going down, the rate should go down. And in fact, as the films are improving and the advertiser confidence is increasing in the medium, we have seen an uptake in the spot rate that we charge. And pretty soon we hope to come back to the pre-COVID levels and maybe even go beyond that also.
Okay. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Thank you. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Tushar for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, we would like to thank the management of UFO Movies and the participants. Good day.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
And have a good day. Thank you, sir.